Okay, Shkach, Rabbi Bacon. I don't see you. Where are you? I know you're here somewhere. I hear your voice. Okay, but thank you very much for the opportunity to share some Torah with the Chevra. I want to begin with an article that I read this past week from a clinical psychologist here in the neighborhood, here in Teaneck, New Jersey. And he shared a perspective which I think is very, very important to keep in mind. And I want to think about it. I want to think about it together tonight from a Torah perspective to see if there's truth to his words. He wrote the following. He said, "Many articles have been written and speeches given about how to improve oneself during quarantine. For some, the highlighting of aspirational growth is motivating and provides a sense of meaning and positive focus during these uncertain and possibly traumatic times. Notably, because striving to be, quote, better is often regarded as the optimal way of being, such messages are often shared, praised, and retweeted on a regular basis. There are those, however, for whom these same messages are not only uninspiring, but result in increased anxiety, depression, and self-loathing. I would like to give voice to this alternative experience in an effort to validate the segment of the population who, while probably numerous, may feel uncomfortable or ashamed slash guilty to express the reality." And he goes on to write about those who feel overwhelmed by the obligation to be inspired and to change and to grow from everything we've been experiencing for these last number of months. So I want to pose the question as follows. I guess if we were to raise it as a question, the question would be, what is the goal of everything that we're going through? I think we would agree that we're currently in the middle of a nisayon, a very difficult nisayon for many of us. And the question, I guess, could be posed, is the goal to thrive or is the goal to survive? Are we trying to grow? Are we trying to change? Are we trying to reflect in a way that we're going to come out of this totally different people? Halavai. Or is there value in just being able to survive? And maybe sometimes, like this author goes on to say, maybe we need to tone down a little bit that pressure that we feel on top of everything else that we're going through to be better and to be better and to be better. And for some people, it can be very inspiring in Hachanami. But for other people, that pressure to change and to use it as an opportunity just to grow and to grow and to grow can be very, very overwhelming. What is the purpose of a nisayon? So we know, I'm sure many of us are familiar with the words of the Ramban. The Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests a person, lahotzi hadavar min hakoach el hapoel, to allow a person to go from a state of potential to an actualization of that potential. So there's many kochos ha-nefesh that we all have that we don't use. That's the truth of it. And to become bigger and better versions of ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants lahotzi hadavar to bring out that potential el hapoel, to make it reality. Whereas David HaMelech wrote in Tehillim Perak Samach, Nesata l'Re'echa Neis l'Hisnoseis. Nisa is a lashon of a neis. Neis l'Hisnoseis, a banner to be lifted up. So on the one hand, the nisayon is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to become bigger and to become better and to become different and to change and to grow. Sviras HaOmer, a question that we're familiar with from Sefer Machshav already, the Rishonim, like the Sefer Achinuch addresses it. Why are we counting up to Kabbalas HaTorah? Maybe we should count down. We know how many days it is. We know that in 50 days' time, we're going to arrive at Kabbalas HaTorah. So you would think we should count down the days. 10 more days to Kabbalas HaTorah. 9 more days, 7 more days, 6 more days. You count it down with the anticipation of arriving. And the Sefer HaChinuch, again, and many others address this question. And the answer, again, is well known to us, that we're counting up in part to express the fact that with each passing day, we're supposed to grow. It's not just about getting to day 50. It's also about getting to day 50. The Bnei Yisachar says, we don't make a Shechiyanu at the beginning of Sfiras HaOmer. Again, the Rishonim discuss it as well. But the Bnei Yisachar writes in his Mamari Chodesh Nisan, we don't make a bracha on Shechiyanu at the beginning of Sfiras HaOmer, ki ein hachuka ahayam hanispar. Because we actually don't like the process of waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and counting and counting and hoping just to get there. Rak alayom sha'achar yemei Sfir. We just want to arrive. And when we arrive at the Yom Tov of Shuas, we do say Shechiyanu, and some understand the Shechiyanu of Shuas as sort of the Shechiyanu of the completion of the Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. Again, as the Bnei Yisachar explains Tamimos, it's sort of, each night is its own thing, but we kind of just want to get the whole thing over with in one fell swoop. We want to just be able to move past it. But of course, as the Rishonim and the Sefer Machshava explain Ba'arichus, we count each day because we're supposed to grow. So we're in a period now of the calendar year where we emphasize progress, where we emphasize change, we're trying to get somewhere. Yaakov Avinu had his eye on Rachel. The Torah is very clear in Parshas saying. And he's negotiating with Lavan, and he'll do anything to get his opportunity to marry Rachel Imenu, to make her Rachel Imenu. And the Torah describes, V'yehav Yaakov es Rachel v'yomar e'avodcha sheva shanim b'rachel bitcha katana. I'm willing to serve for 7 years. And Lavan says, good, I'd rather give her to you than to give her to someone else. And then the Torah says something which is a little bit contradictory, at least on one level. V'yavod Yaakov b'rachel sheva shanim. Yaakov worked for Lavan to earn Rachel's hand in marriage, so to speak, for sheva shanim, for 7 years. And it felt like several days. It flew by, because he loved her so much. 7 years passed by so quickly. Yeah, try telling that to a chassan who had his wedding pushed off because of coronavirus. How quickly it goes by. Because he loves her so much, it goes by so quickly. He wants so badly to marry her now that the 7 years goes by quickly. I would say the opposite. I would say he loves her so much that every passing day is torturous. It's painful. He's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting. So how can the Torah in the same breath say that a 7-year period felt like Yom Achadim because he loved Rachel so much? So Shimshon Pinkus brings from Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal a beautiful mashal. He says, imagine you have two people who are each going to be paid $1 million. One person is promised in 100 days from now, you're going to be given a $1 million check in one of those big lottery checks. $1 million. The other person is told, for the next 100 days, you're going to receive $10,000 a day. Now, we could debate, we could discuss which experience you would choose to sign up for, which one is more exciting. Is it the big check at the end of 100 days of waiting? Is it the $10,000 a day, day in and day out, for the next 100 days? But explain to Aaron Cutler, the first one, who's not getting any money day one, day two, day three, day four, every day is just an obstacle, it's just a blockage, it's a wall between him and his desire to have $1 million. And each day is frustrating. Each day is disappointing. Each day is torturous. He just wants to get there. But the person who gets his $10,000 payment every single day, he appreciates the fact that each day I'm making progress. I'm getting there. Each day I'm getting closer to having $1 million. He doesn't see it as an obstacle. Each day is an opportunity to cash out a little bit. So explained to Rav Shimshon Pinkus, explained to Rav Aaron Cutler, Yaakov Avinu was like that second person. Yaakov Avinu understood that the 7-year waiting period to marry Rachel was purposeful. And what was the purpose? That each day he's going to get a little bit closer to becoming the Yaakov Avinu who's going to marry the Rachel Imenu who's going to build a Klal Yisrael, who's going to be the father of 12 Shvatim. He understood that each day he's getting a little bit more Yaakov Avinu-dik. He's getting a little bit more elevated in his character. He's becoming a little bit more knowledgeable. He's becoming more prepared. He saw it as an opportunity to grow each day, collecting $10,000 each and every day. And Rav Pinkus says he uses this idea, again, of this mashal of Rav Aaron Cutler and this sugya of Yaakov's love for Rachel to say that's what Siras HaOmer is. Yaakov Avinu wasn't frustrated. He loved Rachel so much that he understood, if I want to be the best husband I can be, then each of these days for the next 7 years is an opportunity to become a little bit better. And it passed quickly. He wasn't bothered by it. He saw it as a growth opportunity. He wasn't just waiting to get that $1 million check at the end of the experience. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, that's what Siras HaOmer is. Each day we're counting. And we're not frustrated. We're not just counting down the days to Shavuos. We're counting up, he says. Because we want to each day to become a little bit more ready for Kabbalah Satorah. A little bit more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A little bit more inspired, a little bit more prepared. That's what we're experiencing now, or we should be experiencing in the context of Siras HaOmer. And as B'nai Torah, I know I'm talking to, many of you are Talmidim in our yeshiva, and if you're on this Zoom tonight, that means you're interested in being a growing Jew. You're a Ben Torah who wants to be a Ben Aliyah. You're a person who wants to go up. There's a lot of people in the world who, unfortunately, they're very happy with where they are. They don't live with that bug in their head. They don't live with that desire inside of themselves that's constantly pestering them, saying, you have to be bigger, you have to be bigger. And it's a holy thing. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. To want to be a Ben Aliyah, a growing person, is a gevaldik thing. And we should want to be B'nai Aliyah. B'nai Torah need to be B'nai Aliyah. I want to read you two lines from Rav Elia Meir Blach, Zatzal. It tells the Rosh Yeshiva in his Shi'urei Pninei Das. He writes such a beautiful thing describing how critical it is to be a Ben Aliyah, to be a growing person. And he has a beautiful diuk in the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Hei. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Hei says that Rishon Bar Yochai declared, Ra'isi B'nai Aliyah Ve'heim Mu'atim. Sukkah Mem Hei Amid Beis. Rabbi Shimon says, I saw the B'nai Aliyah and they are few and far between. So you think, for years, I always thought, Pashup Shad in the Gemara, not everyone becomes the next Rishon Bar Yochai. There are few and far between who so to speak, make it, who become the Rosh Yeshiva, who become the Gadol Hador. It's not what Rabbi Shimon says. Says Rav Elia Meir Blach Zatzal, Lo Amar B'nai Ma'ala, Rabbi Shimon didn't say that I see that there are few B'nai Ma'ala, people who actually make it. Rabbi Shimon's lamenting the fact that I see that what B'nai Aliyah, those people who are on the path, are also not so many. There's a lot of people in the world who are very happy being where they are. But a person who's in love with Torah, in love with his relationship with Hashem, wants to better that relationship. He wants to be not just a Ben Mal, I want to make it, so to speak, to say, I made it to the top. I'm a Ben Aliyah, I'm a growing person. Shesheifasim b'chayehem, tomid lihios ba'aliyah tmidis. I always want to be better from one day to the next. That's what a Ben Torah is supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to be. But I know very well, and again, I'm on Rabbi Bacon put me on spotlight mode, so I can see less people now. But just looking around when I first got on for a second, I know very, very well that there are people here who are B'nai Aliyah in Yeshiva, who are steiging, who are growing, who are making progress, who are people who I've watched with my own eyes grow and grow and grow and go up and up and up. And every day in Yeshiva, it's up. It's a trajectory of upward. And yet those same people I'm having conversations with now, these last 8 weeks, 9 weeks, however, I don't even keep track of the time anymore. These last number of weeks, where they feel that they're just totally stuck. I'm not a Ben Aliyah anymore. I'm no longer in that growth mode. I'm not able to get anywhere. There's no forward motion. There's no progress. Every night I'm counting Sefiras HaOmer, and it's mocking me. It's laughing in my face as I'm counting up. One, two, three. I'm thinking of the Sefer HaChinuch. I'm thinking of Rav Shimshon Pinkus. I'm thinking about all the Svarim that I read that talk about the importance of growing through Sefiras HaOmer, getting more and more ready for Kabbalah Satorah. And I'm not getting anywhere. I feel very, very stuck. So again, I go back to the question, if I'm not thriving and I'm, so to speak, just surviving, is that worth anything? If I'm not actively growing, am I a failure in the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Or can we say that a person who's holding tight, who's just mamish holding on to whatever madrega he's on and not falling apart in the most extreme of ways, can a person who's just surviving be called a Ben Aliyah, so to speak? Is he a Baal Madrega, so to speak? So I want to tell you about a Mishnah I was thinking about this past Shabbos, a Mishnah that we learned, that Klal Yisrael learned this past Shabbos, Pirkei Avos Parakei. Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu. We know the Mishnah. Avram Avinu became Avram Avinu by experiencing 10 tests. Va'amad Bekulam. And he withstood all of them. Lahodia Kama Chibasa Shal Avram Avinu Alav Shalom. And it comes to show us how beloved Avram Avinu was. The Tiferes Yisrael explains. What's the Chiba? Tiferes Yisrael says, Kama Gedola Haisa Avasa Lelokav. How much he loved Hashem. Vishalo Lachinam Bacher Boa Kadesh Baruch Hu Mikol Doro. If you think, why did Hashem choose Avram? Hashem says, look at this guy. Look at him. He's unbelievable. Test after test after test. This is why I chose him. He loves me. Look what he's willing to do for me. From the Lech Lecha Me'artzecha to the Lech Lecha Al-Eretz HaMoriah. Avram Avinu he earned, so to speak, being selected by Hashem. Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu Alav Shalom Va'amad Bekulam. What does it mean, Va'amad Bekulam? I was thinking about these words this past Shabbos. What is Amad Bekulam? So you could say, and I saw in one sefer, the Pri Chaim on Meseches Avos, by the Baal Oreach L'Chaim, it's a Chassidus sefer, the Oreach L'Chaim. So he has a commentary on Avos called Pri Chaim. So he says there, maybe Amad means that Avram Avinu maintained his Yishuv Adas through each of the Nisyonos. He was Mamish Amad, he stood tall, he stood up confidently, courageously. He was Omed Bin Yisayon, again as the expression is, right, to withstand the test, to be Omed Bin Yisayon. He stood there, very tall, very confident, Yishuv Adas, not overwhelmed. Abandon your family, no problem. Take your son and murder him, no problem. Avram Avinu was an unbelievably strong person, and he stood tall. He mamish stood tall through all the tests. Could be. But I was thinking, and if it's not true for Avram Avinu, maybe it's certainly true for us. Maybe Amad Bekulam, to withstand the test, to be Omed, the way the Chazal used the term, to be Omed B'Nisayon, maybe just means to not collapse, to not fall apart. Maybe to stand, to withstand the test means to survive the test, to be able to hold one's place. Did I conquer new territory? I don't know if I conquered new territory. But I didn't have a major setback either. I didn't lose territory over these last number of weeks. I didn't completely fall apart. Right? I've been grappling with my Yetzirah and I feel like I haven't been able to move forward, but I also haven't moved back all that much. And maybe that's an accomplishment. If I haven't collapsed, even if I haven't marched ahead, maybe that's also called being Omed B'Nisayon. Olam Hazeh is a very, very scary place. It's true whether there's a pandemic going on or whether it's just a regular day of life. The Sefer Charedim was in the time of Rav Yosef Cairo. He passed away in the year 1600. The Sefer Charedim, a Svardish Gon, Mekubal, great Talmud Chacham living in Tzfat, again, 1533 to 1600. He writes in Perek Samach Vav of the Sefer Charedim a beautiful and poetic description of life in this world. It's Os Kuf, for those who like to take notes. Ha'olam hazeh yam so'er. This world is a raging river. This world is a raging ocean. Tzarech lidamos ha'adam b'dayto ki'ilu hu shat. And a person has to see himself as if he's just swimming through. We're trying to make it through. We're trying not to drown, is what he's saying. Yorim rosho lamala liyotzro. The most basic way for a person to survive when he's swimming is to make sure he knows how to keep his head above water. What does that mean? If Olam Hazeh is this raging ocean, so keeping your head above water means what? It means constantly being able to look up at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yorim rosho lamala liyotzro. To keep his eyes, so to speak, locked on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah brings, I'm just remembering now, Mishnah Berurah brings in the laws of Kedusha, that when we say Kadosh, 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 we go up on our toes, we're supposed to raise our eyes upward. I think it's Simon Nun Hey. We're supposed to raise our eyes upward. He quotes from Kabbalistic works, the Sefer HaYechalos. You're supposed to look up, and he says, check out this Mishnah Berurah. It's such a beautiful Lashon. He says, you're supposed to lock eyes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is looking back at you, and those are some of the finest moments both for you and for Hashem every single day, right? So a Jew is, you know, you're in the water and you're like going up on your toes when you say Kedusha, you're trying to like leap up towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just want to grab on. You want to make sure you keep your head above the water. And you're trying to be so careful not to swallow the destructive, the poisonous waters of Olam overcome you. And if you don't know how to keep your head above the water, says the Sefer Charedim, you're pashut not going to survive. Rabbeinu Bechaya writes in Parshas Maaseh that the Hebrew word for the physical world, for nature, for the natural world, for Olam Hazeh, Teva, the Olam HaTeva, the Olam HaTivi, Teva, he says, is similar to the Lashon of Toveya, Litboa, to drown. Because in Olam Hazeh, we're always drowning, we're always grappling, we're always just trying to paddle, so to speak, to keep our head above the water. So how do you survive? So how does the Jew survive? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu plops our neshama down into this raging ocean, so how are we supposed to survive? Shem Yishmuel writes in Parshas Bereishis, Shnas Tafresh Ayin Gimel. He quotes from the Rebbe of Alexander, of Henach, HaKoyin HaGadol Me'Alexander, he refers to him. He says that Teva is a Lashon of Toveya Benahar. Again, I just told you, Rabbeinu Bechaya already has it in Parshas Maaseh. V'hainu, Sha'odam Ha'osa Lefi HaTeva. Perhaps if I want to survive, I can't be a person who lives in accordance with Teva. If I want to survive, if I don't want Litboa in the Nahar of this world, says the Rebbe of Alexander, quoted by the Shem Yishmuel, Parshas Bereishis, Tafresh Ayin Gimel, a person needs to what? If I don't want to drown in Teva, Tzorech La'asois L'malim in a Teva. I need to be L'malim in a Teva. I need to count 7 weeks of 7 days and come to that eighth week. Eight is always in the language of the Maharal, in the Svar Mekadoshim, L'malim in a Teva. I need to be bigger than this world. But Chaver, it's hard right now. I don't feel bigger than this world. I don't feel like I can get above the water so easily. I'm just paddling in the water, just trying to not be pulled under. But that's also a madrega. Even if I can't live a life that's l'malim in a Teva, I feel that I'm very much in the water right now. But it's possible for a person to hold on to survive. To hold on long enough until a boat comes by and saves you and plucks you out of the water. To just hold on. It's not a glorious image of a guy, you know, gasping for air, just trying to survive another minute. It sounds kind of pathetic. But again, that's also madrega. That's also called living. That's also called surviving. That's also making it, so to speak. Chazal, in one of the most beautiful midrashim that I know, in Bamidbar Rabbah, on the words v'lo sasur acherei levavchem acherei neichem, and that's certainly an isayon that we face right now for many people. Halev ha'inayim heim sarsurin laguf, sheheim mezanin esaguf. The eyes, the heart, the mind can get a person into so much trouble in this world. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to give you a mitzvah called tzitzis. What is the image of the tzitzis? The Chazal already have in Bamidbar Rabbah, Parsha Yud Zayin, the Svarim HaKadoshim build on this mashal. Mashal le'echad mushlach le'toch hamayim. Again, a person has fallen overboard. He's drowning in the waters. Hoishi takabarnit es hachevel. And the captain of the ship lowers a rope down to him. Va'amr lo, and he says to him, grab this rope in your hand. Va'al tanicheyu. And don't you dare let go of this rope, because if you let go for a second, ein lecha chaim, you're a dead man. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, I'm giving you a mitzvah of tzitzis, which is to remind you of all the mitzvahs. And if you just hug the mitzvahs, if you just hold on to them, again, like a person who doesn't know if he's going to survive, but is holding on for dear life, even though he's not really progressing, he's just trying not to get pulled under, but he's alive. He's surviving. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's an accomplishment. The captain of the ship eventually will pull you on board, and you'll be able to hopefully get back to a life of real progress, back on dry land, to be able to move forward once again. Piazetzner Rebbe paints an image in his Sava Zeros in Ozayin of a person who's standing also, he's standing in a raging river. He's describing how public opinion sometimes sweeps over us and we get swept away by whatever we hear in the news, or whatever we read and whatever we're reading. How do we make sure that we have clear minds to be able to think like Jews? The Piazetzner Rebbe says, you're like a person who's standing in a raging river and the waters are pushing against you, and you need to exert so much energy just to stand in your place. You're not getting anywhere. You're not trying to get anywhere. You're just trying not to get swept downstream. But chaver, maybe that's what Chazal mean. When Avram Avinu was what? He was Amad Bekulan. Again, he's Avram Avinu. Maybe for Avram Avinu, the person, he was Omed B'Nisayon with Yishev Adas. But maybe as Avinu, part of our legacy is just to be Omed, is just not to get swept away, is not to be pulled downstream, to be able to hold our ground. I want to end by reading you a quote from Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. It's quoted in a volume called Uvacharta Bachayim, a sefer from the current Scholia Rebbe Shlita. Rav Elimelech writes a similar thing in Parshas Shlach, but it's not exactly this. And the Rizhner also, Rav Yisrael of Rizhner, has a similar yisod. Harav HaKadosh Rav Elimelech Milizhensk Zatzal Amar. Shebidur shel ikvus of the Mashiach. Chaver, listen carefully. And again, it's rooted in the mashal of Chazal. On lo sasur achrei levavchem achrei nechem. In the generation of the ikvus of the Mashiach, at the end of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yavir chevel al derech kol hagolios v'kulam yachziku bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to lower down a rope, so to speak, through all the generations. That's that Mesorah, that's that link in the chain that we are, that bottom link of the Mesorah. We're holding on, so to speak, to the bottom of the rope. The Svarim quote, and they bring from the Pasuk in Ha'azinu, Ki chelek Hashem amo, Hashem's chelek, Hashem's portion is His people. And as the Vilna Gaon writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sameach b'chelko, He's proud of His people. Ki chelek Hashem amo, Yaakov, chevel nachalaso. Chevel nachalaso means the measure of His inheritance. But it's a chevel, it's a rope. Because the way you would measure something in the olden days, you had a rope of various measures. That's how you measure the field. So Yaakov is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rope, so to speak. Every one of us, Yaakov is the lower name. We're not Yisrael, we're Yaakov, we're the bottom of the barrel. And we're holding on to the end of that rope, says Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yochez hachevel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding, so to speak, the top of the rope, v'yina'aneya oso bechazak, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shaking the rope. The world is shaking right now. No one knows what's going to be. V'atipshim, and foolish people at the bottom of the rope say, I'm never going to get to the top of the rope. That's not going to happen. So you know what they do? Foolish people let go of the rope. They say, there's nothing to be gained, there's nothing to be accomplished by holding on to a shaky rope. How is that called accomplishing in this world? Where am I thriving? Where am I accomplishing? Where am I growing? But says Rav Elimelech Lizhensk, a foolish person lets go of the rope because he thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to shake him off. But in truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us this final nisayon of that shaking rope. And our job sometimes, even during the days of Sfiras HaOmer, which are days of progress, of growth, is pashut to just hold on. It's to be able to just hold on to the rope, to attach ourselves to something above ourselves. And Rav Ashlan used to go to the mikveh every day, like many people do, when mikvahs are open. And the mikveh, apparently, where he lived, was located on the top of this very steep hill. That was the mikveh that he liked to go to. For whatever reason it was built, he lived in the valley down below. The mikveh was on top of this hill. And Rav Meir of Premishlan, every single day, would climb up and down the side of this mountain, this very, very steep incline, in order to go to the mikveh. And it was amazing, because it didn't matter if it was summer, if it was winter, if the ground was frozen, or if it was icy, if it was slippery, if it was rainy, if it was muddy. Somehow, Rav Meir from Ashlan walked up and down the mountain every single day. No hiking gear, no equipment. He just went up and down the mountain, and people couldn't understand it. Some of his detractors, people who thought it was ridiculous, they said, what do you mean? He must have like some type of trick. They checked his shoes. What's he doing? How does he do it? And they tried to do it also. They tried to run up the mountainside on a cold wintry day, and they slid back down on the rear ends. So they asked Rav Meirel, they said, Rav Meirel, how do you do it? And Rav Meirel said, so partially, he said, a person who's makusher above doesn't slip down below. A person who links himself, who connects himself on high, doesn't fall down below. Because I'm so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm able to go up and down the mountain as I please, as I see fit. A person who's also holding the rope, a person who's just clutching the rope for dear life, is also makusher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the top of the rope. So again, I want to give us a bracha. And I want to thank that person who wrote that article that I referenced at the beginning. It happens to be my wife's first cousin. Beautiful article. You know, it's important for us to be thinking and to reflecting and to growing. And again, all the Torahs that we know about Sfiras HaOmer, it's so important during these days. But we also have to be careful that we don't get down on ourselves. If we feel that we're just pushed holding on, that's also, there's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot of accomplishment in just being able to hold on. And Amir Tzashem, if we can continue to cling to that rope, then Chelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Nachalasso, Kadosh Baruch Hu will scoop us up, will pull us, the kabarnit, the captain of the ship, will pull us back onto the boat, and we'll travel together to the Gula Shlema B'mehera B'Yameinu Amen. Thank you all very much for tuning in. Have an amazing night, and don't forget